Well, hey there, everybody. This is Michelle, and on behalf of our pastor, it is my privilege to welcome you to our online service right here at our Plano campus. And I don't know if you know this, but October is a great month. Not only is it Pastor Appreciation Month, but it is also Hispanic Heritage Month. And we love Preston en Español. And I've got Elizabeth here with us. Elizabeth, greet our friends that are joining us online in Spanish.
De Prestwood. Gracias por acompañarnos desde donde está, ya sea que está en otro país, otra ciudad. Le damos la bienvenida a su hogar, Prestwood.
Such a great service. We've got worship in both English and in Spanish. Text a friend, invite them to join us for our services today. I know it'll be a blessing. And Elizabeth, we also have an amazing online team in the chat. If you're home and you are sick today, I hope you know that we are here to pray for you, that we want to take a moment right now. So let us know in the chat if we can be praying for you and for your health or for your family. However it is, this is also a great time to catch up on those prayer things. So Elizabeth, what else can we tell them?
Si estás en casa, recuerda compartir este enlace. Si nos estás visitando por primera vez, esta es tu hogar, Prestonwood. Estamos aquí para escuchar el mensaje de la palabra de Dios, así que bienvenido.
All right, so this is going to be a great time. Like I said, get on your feet, because from right where you are, our worship service begins now.
Okay, iglesia, vamos a ponernos sobre nuestros pies. Let's stand down and worship the only one worthy to be worshipped. Amen.
Come on, you weary. Come on, you thirsty. Come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water. Come and thirst no more. Come on, you sinners. Come find His mercy. Come to the table. He will satisfy. Taste of His goodness.
you believe that this morning, that God sent His only Son to live a perfect life for us, to die on the cross for our sins, to conquer death, rise again 3 days later, to be seated at the right hand of His Father? You believe that? That is why we are here this morning. That's the reason He is the only one who is worthy of our sacrifices, our voices, our offering this morning, everything that we have to give. Amen. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Would you find someone you haven't said good morning to yet and say hello to them? All right, you can go ahead and find your seat as we continue to worship together this morning through believer's baptism.
Well, church family, it's already been a wonderful time of worship together. We are. We're here together. Six new believers coming into the waters of baptism, walking by faith, identifying with Jesus as Lord and Savior. So this is Ethan Horde.
This is Lucy Woka.
Ethan, Lucy, because of your testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to His command, it's our privilege to baptize you, our brother and our sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. This is my man, Israel Villanueva.
And this is Terry Ray.
Israel, Terry, because of your testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to His command, my young brother and my sister, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have a brother and a sister coming together. This is Ken Beharvin.
And this is Amelia Beharvin.
Kian and Amelia, brother and sister in life and brother and sister in Christ. Because of your testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus and in obedience to His command, it's our privilege and our joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life.
Let's praise the Lord with this. Welcome to Preston Wood. As you are here first time, we welcome you. We've been praying for you, and we want you to connect with us. Please take your phone and send a text to 74788 with the word connect, because we want to connect with you. We want to bless you. And also, if you are worshiping with us online, we want to welcome you. Let's give a welcome to all of those who are worshiping with us online today. I'm Pastor Gilberto from Preston Wood in Espanol, and when you see me here, it's because something good is happening in Preston Wood in Espanol. Amen. I will tell you now. 50 years ago, Pastor Jack had the vision in his heart to reach the nations, not just the nations around the globe, also the nation who are here in our neighborhood. And praise God, we start Preston Wood in Espanol. And today, at Preston Wood in Espanol, we are celebrating Hispanic heritage. What that means is we're celebrating all the people who born or maybe came from somebody else who speaks Spanish. So today at 2:00, we invite you, as you have energy, to come back and worship in Spanish. And after the worship, we want to have a big fiesta, a big party. So as you have energy, came back. But let me tell you what God is doing at Preston Wood Espanol. God is doing an amazing job at Preston Wood Espanol. This year is our best year ever. We baptized 307 people first time this year, first time ever. We received this year 700 new families to the church through outreach, through so many opportunities that God has given us. And also we have this year, we count 751 professional faith. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for inviting and praying in your neighborhood. When you pray in your neighborhood, you know what we are doing? Praying for homes, but praying for the nations that are coming here. So keep praying for us. Thank you for your support again. This month is Pastor's Appreciation Month. And I think it's time to say thank you to all the pastors, especially to Dr. Jack Graham. Thank you, thank you, thank you, pastors. Talking about Pastor released his new book, The Jesus Book. It's a book that teaches you how important is to read, learn, and how you studied your Bible. One of the things that I love about this church is we believe, we preach, and we breathe the Bible. So thank you, Pastor, for this book. And also, if you want to have a copy, pass by the bookstore and you grab one. So let's keep worshiping the Lord now with our offering. It's our offerings and tithes make it possible that our church keep proclaiming the gospel. And let me tell you this, you have more than one way to give in this church. You can send a text to 74788 and you can give online. Also, you can give on the plates passing around you. You can get an envelope right there. You can go outside and you find a giving center. You can use your credit card, your debit card. And also, you can put your envelopes there outside in the boxes that we have for that. But thank you for your support again. It's we together as a people, as a one church, we are making a difference. In the service in the morning, I celebrate the people who came from Mexico to build a church. Pastor David Shiver was in Thailand, and I was in Cuba last week. So God is working in our church, through our church, to bless from our neighborhoods to the nation. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to worship you in any language, from every nation. You are great, God. We collect, we give as an act of worship. Please, Lord, use this offering for the fulfillment of the Great Commission. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and the church says, amen.
Señor mi Dios, al contemplar los cielos, el firmamento y las estrellas, al oír tu voz, en los potentes truenos, y ver brillar el sol en su cenit, mi corazón entona la canción, cuán grande es
for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands, this is my confidence.
My confidence, you never fail. This is our message series, Living Faith in a Hostile World. So take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And while you are on your way, thank you, number one, for bringing your Bibles. So good. You know, this church is built upon the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And I love seeing you holding God's Word. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, we'll give you one after the service at Guest Central if you would care to go by there. Or there's a copy of Scripture in the pew rack right in front of you. You could use that, but let's get our Bibles open to 1 Peter chapter 2. And yes, this is a wonderful day to celebrate Prestonwood Español and our desire to tell the world who Jesus is and how he is mighty to save. And we appreciate so very, very much. Speaking of Pastor Appreciation Month, and we do, all of us here who are pastors and ministers at Prestonwood, we appreciate so much your prayers and your support. We feel loved and blessed every single day. But what a day to celebrate Pastor Gilberto Corredera and Prestonwood Español and Yanni. We love Mrs. Corredera, Yanni, and their wonderful family. And it is truly remarkable what God is doing. I would really encourage you to attend every Sunday afternoon right here in this room. And you can go up on Saturday nights to Prestonwood North, and Prestonwood Español is meeting on Saturday nights, and Gilberto is preaching there, and then here most every Sunday afternoon. It's an incredible service. The music is wonderful. They say, maybe Gilberto Corredera says, that what you just heard, Spanish, is the language of heaven. I don't know. But I do know it is a beautiful language and a beautiful people. And God is bringing people from all over the world. He mentioned that we have 19 nations. There are 21 Spanish-speaking, primarily Spanish-speaking nations in the world. And 19 of these are represented at Prestonwood Español. And we're reaching those two others, Paraguay and Uruguay, small Spanish, through television and radio. So we can say all 21, Gilberto, but 19 right here. And so this afternoon is going to be, I look forward to joining Prestonwood Español this afternoon for the service. And then after, there's going to be a fiesta, right? All the foods of the nations of Prestonwood Español are going to be served. So I'm saying after the siesta comes the fiesta this afternoon. So I hope to be there after the siesta. I don't know if I'm going to get a siesta this afternoon or not. It doesn't matter. I'm glad to be with you, and I'm wide awake right now and ready to explore God's Word with you. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you that in your Word there is life and there is truth and there is power. And so we ask that Jesus would be exalted in your Word, O Lord, and we pray that every one of us would listen and respond in our hearts with faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Political division is at a fever pitch, of course, in the United States. The divisions are deeper than ever, and the rhetoric is more rabid. And the path forward, what happens next, is more uncertain than it's ever been. And yet in these hostile times, there is hope. There is living hope in a hostile world, in a world in which people are becoming more and more hostile towards Christians and people of faith. But we know that there is a way through as we navigate this season of cultural war with grace and strength, and on the firm foundation, which is Jesus Christ, who Christ alone is our cornerstone. And that's the title of this message. I love the song, Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. I put my faith in Jesus. And then the question is asked, will he ever fail? And the answer is, he won't. And whatever you're going through in your life, if you build your life upon Christ, the rock of ages, the solid rock, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I love the story of a little Irish lady She said, Christ is my solid rock. All other rocks are sham rocks. And we know Christ is the solid rock. And we are building our lives upon His truth and His word. And His truth is marching on. And we want to shine as bright and beautiful lights in a world filled with darkness. We want to do, as Jesus said, to be salt and light. What good is it, Jesus said, if the salt loses its saltiness, its savor? It's nothing good of it except to be thrown on the pathway and trampled on. No, we are to be salty, and salt preserves and salt protects. And salt can sometimes sting when there is a wound. And yet we are a preservative as salt, and we are light in the darkness. We overcome evil with good. And it is our prayer. And this is a month of prayer here at Prestonwood, focusing on prayer, whether it is walking our streets and our neighborhoods or standing at the wall in our building or down at the prayer garden at the prayer. We are asking people to pray like never before. And our prayer in these days, these important days, is that God would enable us to preserve our freedoms and protect our families and persevere in our faith and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's who we are, and that's what we are about. It's imperative in order to do this that Christians unite and ignite, unite and ignite in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we be together and stronger together and better together as we pursue these godly goals and prayers. C.S. Lewis once said, the only thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important. I'll say it again to quote Brother Lewis. The only thing that Christianity cannot be is moderately important. It is important, vitally important, and eternally important. This is a time, this is not a time for confusion in the church. This is not a time for division in the church. It's time to stand up, to rise up, to be bold and strong and courageous with our biblical convictions, to be brave like Esther, who saved her nation because she said, or it was said of her, she had come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Because what happens now impacts our children and our children's children, this generation and the generations to come. Thomas Paine once said, these are the times that try the souls of men. Indeed, these are trying times. But we, as God's people, have the opportunity and the responsibility to influence our culture, to make the biggest spiritual impact that we can as we unite and ignite together. Now's the time to get together right now. Amen. Some of you recognize that from the 60s. It is time to get together right now. I love the story in Peanuts when Charlie Brown is watching a program on television. This is the day before remote controls, and Lucy comes in and says, Charlie, go change the channel. And Charlie Brown says, well, why would I do that? And she said, I'll give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 good reasons to do that. And so he does it. He changes the channel. In the next frame in the cartoon, it's Charlie looking at his fingers and saying, why can't you guys get together like that? So it's time to get together God's way. And that's what this passage in front of us is all about. It is about getting together on Christ alone, our cornerstone. So let's begin reading. It's a beautiful passage of Scripture, and I want to read all of it from chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And so stay with me. We're going to walk through it. So put away all malice. This is a very good word for us as believers right now. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy, which means to wear a mask, fake, and envy and all slander. And do what? Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk. Now, this is milk for the mind. This is milk for the soul. spiritual milk. It is the Word of God. It is the Jesus book. And like newborn babies, we are to crave this pure spiritual milk. It's not polluted milk. When I was a little boy, I was told I was allergic to milk. I know I didn't like milk that much, to drink that milk. It was a test. So my mother would buy all kinds of things to put in the milk to try to get me to drink it. Nestle's Quick. God only knows what was in that stuff. And syrups and strawberry, and I still didn't like drinking milk. But it's kind of sad in the church today, churches today, you have to put a lot of stuff, entertainment, a lot of stuff just to get people to come to church, when we are to crave, like newborn babes, like little children, we are to crave the nourishment and the nurturing of God's Word. That's what we're to do. And then he says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Got milk? Well, taste and see, the psalmist said, that the Lord is good. And once you taste, once you experience the goodness of God, how many believe that God is good to you? Yes, he is. God is good. The goodness of God follows us all the days of our lives. And so if you have tasted the goodness of God, the grace of God in your life, one of the marks of the believer is that you have an appetite for God's Word. Before you became a Christian, you cared less probably about the Bible. You didn't understand it at all. The scripture says the natural man, the person outside of Christ, doesn't receive the things of the Spirit. So if you're not a Christian, you have little if no interest in the Bible. But once you become a believer, you have this insatiable appetite to feast on the Word of God. And not only is it called milk, but also in Scripture called meat, the meat of the Word. So this is how we grow up into our salvation. This is how we grow in our faith and mature as believers in Christ. Verse 4, as you come to Him, I like that. In just a few moments, I'm going to give an invitation and invite you to come to Jesus. We say it again and again. As you come to Him, a living stone. Now, when you think of a stone, you probably don't think of something as living. Even your pet rock is not living. You speak of something as being stone cold dead or dead as a rock. But here, Peter, who built his life on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, he said, you are now coming to a living stone. The stone at the tomb was rolled away, and Christ came out of the grave. And he lives, and he is this living stone. And he's illustrating from the building of the temple and the building of some of the great walls of the ancient world as a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. The precious stone, the rock of ages. And then, watch this, verse 5. You yourselves, like living stones. So now you who were once dead, you were once like stone cold dead. You now, because of Christ, are being built up as a spiritual house. This is why we say at Prestonwood, the church is a place to call home. Because this is a spiritual house, not these buildings, but it is a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We're doing that today. We're offering spiritual sacrifices, whether it is our person as living sacrifices to the Lord, whether it is our possessions as we offer what we have to the Lord, or whether it is not only our person, our possessions, but it is our very presence in the Word, our praise as we lift up praises to God. These are spiritual sacrifices of worship. This is our devotion. This is why we come. It's our dedication. And then verse 6, for it stands in Scripture. It's a good word to describe the conviction and the commitment of the Bible. It stands in Scripture. This is what stands. Remember, he said, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. It stands. It's always true and trustworthy in Scripture. Behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Jesus Christ alone, cornerstone. He is either the stepping stone into heaven or the stumbling stone into hell. Based on what you do with Jesus, whether you receive him as the chief cornerstone, build your life upon him, or you reject him as he was often rejected. And this literally happened in Hebrew history where the cornerstone of the temple was tumbled down into the Kidron Valley. And when it came time to lay the cornerstone for the temple, they were looking for it. Where's the cornerstone? Oh, we sent it. They called down to, well, they didn't call down. They sent word down to the quarry, said, send the cornerstone. We're ready to lay the cornerstone. And they say, we don't have it. We sent it years ago. In fact, they did. And somebody had rejected the cornerstone and threw it down into the Kidron Valley, which is still there in Israel. You can see it, not the cornerstone, but the valley. And so this literally happened. And so the Hebrew listeners would have known exactly what Peter was talking about, how the cornerstone was rejected and how Christ then was rejected. And so he is either the one you build your life upon or reject and lose your life because of it. A rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you, now stay with me because this is a beautiful word from God. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Say amen. Amen. And once you were not a people, you were not a people. You were nothing. You were abandoned. You were once not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, we were on our way to judgment. We had no mercy, but now in Jesus Christ, you have received mercy. What a wonderful passage of Scripture. So what does this mean, all of this? First, it means that we belong together. I said we need to come together. We need to get together right now. So how do we do that? Because we belong together in that we are birthed together. We are born again together. 1 Peter 1:23 says that we are born again by the word of God. It is vital that the church be filled with born again believers, with regenerated. Its church membership should be a regenerated church membership. I do believe in church membership. I believe every Christian should be a part of a local body of believers, the church, serving the Lord in our own community and reaching the world with the gospel. And I know some churches don't have official memberships. We do. And the reason we do is because I believe it's a New Testament principle that we are birthed together and we're part of a spiritual family and we are committed to one another. You know, some people in life choose to, what we used to say, shack up and not get married. And just hanging out at church and not being a part of the church family and commitment is sort of like shacking up. I want to challenge you, if you are not a member of this church or a church like Prestonwood, exalting Christ, preaching the Bible, growing in the faith, reaching the world, that you get yourself engaged in the body of Christ, that you are, because we are birthed together, we belong together. We, you know, there's no such thing as an unchurched Christian. Some of you may say, that's not right. Yes, it is right. There's nothing in the New Testament that would suggest that you could be an unchurched Christian. There are a lot of unchurched people. And there are people, I guess, who are de-churched. They're not in church. They're out of church. But if you are a Christian, then you will love the bride of Christ, who is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. No doubt, Peter was remembering the day when Jesus asked in Matthew chapter 16, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter confessed in the power of the Holy Spirit, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then the Lord responded, "Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against my church." Amen. So Jesus established the church. The church is not an afterthought. It's not an accident of human history. But the church has been in the heart and mind of eternal God from eternity past and will be the church triumphant in heaven forever and ever and ever. And in the meantime, we're to give ourselves to Christ and follow him in his footsteps into the fellowship of God's church. I challenge you, if you say you are a believer in Jesus, that you would connect and belong to the ministry of the local church. Many of you who are watching online, I want to encourage you. It's good to have you online with us. And many of you can't get to church physically, and this is a ministry to you. We appreciate that opportunity, but I want to really encourage you, if at all possible, wherever you live, you find a local church, again, preaching the gospel, teaching the Bible, and you become a part of that in reaching your community for Christ. That's the goal. We're not TV Christians. We're not sit in our living room and watch it online Christians. We are Christians who love God, and therefore we love his church. We are not only Christian people, we're church people. Amen. I'll say that again because I think that deserves a few more amens. We are not just Christian people, we're church people. Amen. That's right. So God's design for the church, we are believing together. We believe together, and therefore we belong together. Titus 2:14 says that he has saved us in order to purify for himself a people that are his very own. Don't you love that? His very own people. And what are we to do? Eager to do what is good. The Bible says if I know something that's a good thing and I don't do it, that's sin. So we are eager to do what is good. At times, we may be disappointed in church or churches. It's possible even to be disillusioned with the institutional church or churches that we see around us. But in spite of the failures and flaws of the institutional church, the living church of the living God is alive and well. And we're to be called and committed. Why? Because we believe together. We don't get together just because we like each other. I hope we love each other. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But that's not why we're here. We're here because we love God and we want to worship him and we want to welcome him into our lives by believing him. So we are believing and belonging together. But the second thing is we are built together. We are built together, believing together, belonging together, built together. And thus, that whole illustration that Peter is giving us about the cornerstone, building your life on Christ. And when Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," that's the great confession. And Jesus replied, "Upon this rock," Peter wasn't the rock, he was a little rock, literally his name, but the rock is not the church. The rock is not the Pope. The rock is Jesus. Amen. And upon this rock, this confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is on this rock, Jesus, the cornerstone alone, that we stand. And we are built together. Jesus told in his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, and if you know the Sermon on the Mount, you know he closes it because he was a good preacher and communicator with a powerful story. He said two men went out to build their house, and one built his house on sand, no foundation. The other built his house on a rock with a firm foundation. And then the Lord said the storms began to rise, and they always do. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. We all have storms in life. Jesus said, when the rains and the winds beat against the house of the man who built his house on the sand, it fell, and Jesus exclaimed, and great was the fall of it. Just a total collapse of that man's house representing his life because it had no foundation. But then he said, that man who built his house upon the rock, when the winds and the rains come, and we all have those. I'm scanning this beautiful congregation this morning, and I'm looking at many, many people that I know you've had storms in your life, even in recent days. Will Jesus fail you then? Will he fail you now? No, he won't. Because he said, if you build your life upon me, it's the truth of what I'm saying to you. He said, if you build my life upon my truth, then your house will stand in the midst of anything and everything you may face in life. He won't fail you then. He won't fail you now. And so you can trust in him. So we're built together. And how are we held together in this building? Every building, every stone, collection of stones. We built a wall out here representative of the Western Wall in Jerusalem, and you have all kinds of stones of various sizes and shapes, and you see this in the ancient walls in Jerusalem. And there's mortar in between those walls, of course. And the mortar, as I see it, is love. Love is what holds us together. And that's what Peter is talking about when he talks about this love that we have for one another in the earlier chapter. Just scan back in your Bible. Go back to, chapter 1 and verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Not a fake love, not a phony love, but an authentic love, a real love. Not hypocritical love. The word hypocrite means to wear a mask. So many people put on a mask, a smile, but they don't love. And he says, so let your love be sincere. And then he uses the word phileo, brotherly love there. And another kind of love in the New Testament, agape love, which is God's kind of love, the love of Christ, the love of the cross. Love one another earnestly. And that is a very muscular word. It means vigorously, with fortitude. And with strength, love earnestly from a pure heart. A sincere love. A strong love. This is what makes us, this strong love, get out of our easy chairs and walk our streets and pray for our neighbors. Be ready to serve people around us. What would call Gilberto Cadera to leave his homeland and come to the United States to preach the gospel and grow the church. And then to go back, as he did just last week, you know, the power was out, right, Gilberto? So much in Cuba, and he went as a light in that darkness, literal darkness, and shared the love of Christ. It's what would cause David Shivers and a group of men from our church to go to Thailand and to Laos last week. David was able to lead to Christ a leading communist person in the state there in Laos. He was the keeper of all the orphanages and a communist, and David saw an open door and led that communist to Christ right there. This is why, you know, we leave the comfort of our own homes and we go, and it's why we had a group of men down in Mexico this past week building churches, literally with our hands and sweat. Why? Because we love God and we love people. What did Jesus say? You're to love the Lord your God. This is the first commandment and the greatest. You're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And you show it by loving your neighbor as yourself. And so this is the love that holds us together. It is the sincere love of God. You know, we do this because we have so much life in Christ. It just, we want to spill over. We're living stones. We know who we were. We weren't a people, and now we are a people. I was reading an article recently from the Associated Press about life expectancy. You know, the general expectancy lifespan, which has been increasing in the United States and around the world over the years. And this was an interesting article because the scholars and the scientists and the studies were showing that humanity, and I quote, is hitting the upper limit of life expectancy. Advances in technology, whether it be science or medicine and so on, are not translating into marked jumps in lifespan. In other words, people, because of all of this medicine and machinery and all the rest, the lifespan is not jumping that much. And this one professor, Olshansky, what a name, he said, we have to recognize there's a limit. And then another professor, Mark Hayward, these are all smart guys, we are reaching a plateau in life expectancy. Now, the study showed that women continue to live longer than men. I don't know why. I have a few ideas, but not to be discussed at this time. But both men and women's life expectancy, we've seen improvements occurring in our generation, my generation. But the study suggests that there's a limit to how long most people live, and we've about hit it. They said we're squeezing less and less life out of these life-extending technology, and the reason is aging gets in the way. And I wanted to say, duh. Aging gets in the way of life expectancy. It surely does. In 2019, a little over 2% of Americans made it to be 100 years of age, compared to about 5% in Japan and 9% in Hong Kong. And then I'll close this little study with this. It's likely that the ranks of centenarians will grow in the decades ahead, experts say, but that because of population growth, the percentage of people hitting 100 will remain limited, likely with fewer than 15% of women and 5% of men, there that goes again, making it that long in most countries. And I read that article, and I'm interested in life expectancy. I want to live, you know, I'm more interested in health expectancy and being healthy, not just how long you live, but how well you live. And, you know, our times are in His hands. God knows the beginning and the end of our lives, but we have something to say about that as well, as how we take care of ourselves and our health and how we live and how we finish our days. That's all good. But when I read that article, I was just reminded, when you read that, you know, 100 is somewhat the limit. A few make it beyond that. But life expectancy has an age limit. We all have a shelf life. But when you are born again, you have an unlimited shelf life. The old saying is, if you are born but once, that is physical birth, you will die twice. You will not only die physically, and you will, but also you will die eternally and spiritually. There's the second death that the Bible speaks about. So if you're born just one time, you'll die twice. But if you are born again, as Jesus looked at Nicodemus, an old man, we don't know how old he was, but he was an aged man, he was a respected man, he was a revered man, he was a rabbi, and yet Jesus looked at him and said, you must be born again, Nicodemus. And so if you are born again, you have eternal life. Jesus went on to say that famous verse. We'll sing about it at the invitation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so, we believe together and we belong together, and the mortar is love. It's the love of God and the love that we have for one another. And I can assure you, the world is watching. What did Jesus say about this? By this shall all people know that you are my followers, my disciples, that you love one another. We belong together. We believe together. And therefore, we are blessed together. Aren't you blessed to be a part of God's church? Amen. Just to read those sentences that we highlighted earlier, you're now a royal priesthood. You're a priest. I'm a priest and you're a priest. You don't need another priest. Did you know that? You don't need a priest. Jesus is our high priest. You don't need me to be your priest. I'll pray for you. I'll be your pastor. But you don't need a priest. Because Jesus is the priest, the high priest. And you are a royal priesthood. That means you are of a kingly heirdom. And you have access to God. We can boldly come to the throne of grace anytime, any place, because Jesus ever lives to make intercession for his people. You are the people of God. We were nothing, as we've already emphasized. We had nothing going for us. We were people scattered all over the world. But now we are a holy priesthood. This passage speaks so well of our identity in Christ and our dignity in Christ and our destiny in Christ. Amen. And so he says, you are called, therefore, to be a light in the darkness, to bless the nations. Because we are blessed, we want to bless others. Verse 10, I just hit it one more time and then we'll close. It says, once you were not a people, but now you're God's people. Once you've not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The main thing we need is the mercy of God, which comes by the grace of God because of what Christ has done for us. And when we had nothing, we were nothing. He gave us everything. The forgiveness of sin and hope and a future with him. He put us in a spiritual family, his church. You know, one of the worst things, talking about being together, talking about aging, in fact, one of the worst things that can happen to you is to get isolated in your life. Whatever age you are. We see a lot of young people and teenagers isolated. They're isolated with a little screen. And that's why we're seeing so much mental health issues among young people and even teen suicides and all the rest, so much isolation. And there are many people who are isolated. People who are behind those closed doors. We're walking down the streets and you don't know what's going on behind those doors. Many people are isolated and hurting and broken, but you can pray open broken down lives and doors by the grace of God and reach into those communities. I want to challenge you when you walk your neighborhood to pray that God would not only open their hearts, but hear me now, open your heart to the people all around us. Gilberto Cordera said it earlier, the nations have come to our neighborhoods. I scanned this congregation this morning, and certainly those of you watching online, people from many nations, God is bringing to our doorsteps. People who are hurting and people who are broken. I was talking to a soldier the other day who works with hurting veterans who've come back from Afghanistan and other places of war. This is Jake Elsie, who is a congressman, wonderful man of God. We were talking about the problems that veterans are facing. So much mental health and all the issues that these are facing. And I was talking about why. Most of you have not heard about this, but several months ago, we had a veteran, a Navy veteran, who lived down a mile or two from our church, our neighbor. Estranged situation in his life, and apparently drugs and alcohol were involved. We don't know all the details. We'd never met this man, nor his family. And he came to the front of our church by the statue of Jesus. and took his life. Right on the doorsteps of our beautiful, blessed church. His blood was at the feet of Jesus. And I know in some ways we're not responsible for that man's decision to take his life. But I do know we're responsible for the people that are around us right now that we know, who are brokenhearted and broken in many ways, to tell them about Jesus, to pray for them. And so I tell you that sad story to do for you perhaps what it did for me, to soften my heart. When you pray, ask God to open and soften the hearts of people to receive the gospel, but pray that God would soften your heart. As one great Christian of yesteryear said, oh God, may we pray that you would break our hearts with the things that break your heart. So right at our doorstep are people all around us. And so what are we to do? We're to battle together for the souls of men. We are to believe together, belong together, build together, and battle together. And our word, and the word of God is our weapon, and the testimony of Jesus, and the power of prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Christ alone, our cornerstone. Build your life on him. You can have God's mercy, and you can have it today. It's a gift of God. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Those of you watching online, please pray with us right now. If you don't have Christ in your heart, if you've been building your life on anything or something else, then turn from that and trust in Christ. You've been building your life on sand. You got nothing. You got nothing. You say, well, I got a lot of money. It's all going to burn up. It's not going to last. You're not going to live past 100 much, most of us. So you're going to face an eternal God. Have you rejected Christ and will stumble into hell, into judgment? Or are you receiving Christ and stepping into eternity with him? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. So invite Jesus into your life. God so loved. He loves you unconditionally. This is why God wants us to love people. Hear me. This is why God wants us to love people, because he is love. And we grow to be more like God, more godly, more Christ-like in our love. That's why we're told to love people, because we want to be like God with unconditional love for people. We're all born selfish and self-centered. It's hard to do. But by God's grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit who's poured out in our hearts, we can do it in Jesus' name. So receive Christ as your Savior right now. And in just a moment, when we stand and sing together, and I'm going to ask that everyone stay with us through the entire invitation and pray with us and be a part of this invitation. People around you need to know the Lord. Let's don't be walking out and disturbing people who are on the edge of eternity. So let's stay and let's pray. I'm going to invite you to come forward. Our pastors are in the balcony for those of you upstairs, and right here at the front with me to those of you on the lower levels. I'm going to ask you to come forward and profess your faith in Jesus Christ. Some of you already have done that. You're a Christian, but you're not in church. You need to come and get in church and get your life building and growing in Christ. So come and join this church. God has prompted you and prepared you for this moment. So come and make that decision today. If you've not been baptized as a believer in Christ, then we'll make an appointment for your baptism. If you're a baptized believer already, we'll receive you as a new member of our church this very day. You can make that decision. So Lord, move in every heart. May your Holy Spirit work in every life and bring unto yourself all who are trusting and receiving you and repenting of their sin and following Jesus today. Add to your church. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you